Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Please keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times.
This is your final warning.
Now, here's your host, Mr. Thrill Ride himself, Eric Metaxas.
Yes, folks, it is I, Eric Metaxas. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. And as usual, I get to talk to tremendously interesting people, and you get to listen in, and we learn, we have fun together. My guest in this hour is someone that I had on a little bit over a month ago when I was taping down in Orlando at NRB, National Religious Broadcasters. I just had this cavalcade of interesting people, and half of them I thought, gee whiz, we've got to get you back on the air because we've only begun the conversation. So my guest today is Jonathan Burness. He is the head of Jewish Voice Ministries International. Jonathan, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Eric, great to be back with you. Have you recovered yet from NRB?
Yes, I recover. I'm now in the process of recovering from my recent trip to Dallas. I do a lot of traveling, and sometimes it can be much. But NRB, that was fun. I got to talk to so many people, and I got to meet so many new people, and you are one of them. I just remember thinking, gosh, we need more time to talk, and finally now we get it. So thanks for being
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Well, your story, part of what I like to do on this show, I call it the show about everything. I like to talk about everything, but I guess I particularly like to talk about the things that other people are not talking about. And one of the things that many people are completely unaware of is that you can be a Jew and believe in Jesus. You can be a Jew who is, some people would say a Christian, even though you're a Jew. You can be a Jew who believes that the Messiah has come and his name is Jesus of Nazareth, who, by the way, was a Jew. Every time I talk to someone like you, I get fascinated because it deepens my faith as a Gentile believer in Jesus. So I want to ask you again, how did you, Jonathan Burness, end up becoming a believer in the Messiah, Jesus? Because that's not kind of typical for most Jewish boys growing up.
No, it's not. But let me just say this, that in the first century, it was a complete 180. The question was, what do we do with Gentiles that want to embrace this Jewish Messiah and be part of this Jewish sect of followers? Because all of the first believers in Jesus were all Jews. They were never introduced to Christianity as a religion because it didn't exist.
There's no such thing as Christianity. It's Judaism, except Jesus is the Messiah.
Yes, and Acts 15, you have this, the Jerusalem Council, which I know as a Jew is a big fight, Eric, a lot of arguing. What do we do with these Gentiles who are responding to this Jewish gospel? And they concluded that Gentiles can be saved and embraced and don't have to become Jews. And we're dealing with exactly the opposite. What about these Jews? And there's many of us now, there are tens of thousands of Jewish people like myself over the last 45 years, almost 50 years, have responded to the gospel and have made Jesus our Messiah and Savior. And we're still struggling through, what does that mean for us? Can we still, how do we live as both believers and as Jews who were taught from the time that we were knee-high, that we were born Jewish and we were to live as Jews and die as Jews? And that was my upbringing. I was born a Jew. I was taught that I would die a Jew. Jesus, for me, was the God of a different religion, the God of Christianity. And I remember hearing some Christian messages in high school because some friends brought me along to a Young Life group, and I was amazed at this Jesus who could walk on water and heal the sick and raise the dead. And I thought, my, this Jesus is so personable. He's so real, because the God of Israel that I grew up with was this very distant, holy God. Maybe some people that are listening to the program have read Jewish literature and noticed that God is written G-D or
right.
L-RD, or instead of saying Yahweh, we say Hashem, which means the name, or Adonai, which means Sir, the Lord, because we replaced the holy name of God with a pronounceable name because God is holy. But he's also this distant force who did great things in history and disappeared from the scene. And that's the God I grew up with, Eric. until high school, and when I heard this about this Jesus. But I had one problem. I was Jewish, and when anybody personalized it and asked me to consider receiving the message that I had heard, I always strong-armed them, and I say, I'm sorry, I'm Jewish. And sadly, and I think I had mentioned this to you when we were at NRB, they apologized. And by apologizing, they were affirming this misconception I had that Jesus wasn't for Jews. Fast forward to college. That's where I was really searching for truth and for meaning and for purpose. I always had a sense that I had some mission on this earth. And through a girlfriend who was kind of a fellow drug user and then got saved, I began to hear the gospel over and over and over again. And I later found out that she had all of her new Christian friends in church, at her Bible study, praying for me by name. And that's what really drew me. I was not interested, to be honest, in becoming a believer. I was not interested in changing my life. I certainly wasn't interested in being in full-time ministry, but the power of prayer really drew me.
And it's hard, you know, we always talk about the power of prayer, but it's good to be reminded that it's real, that it's real. I want to go back to when we were at NRB, you shared about how when you were in high school, you were taken to Young Life. Tell us about that. Now, Young Life is a Christian ministry to teenagers, basically. And tell us about that.
And they're huge. Well, they run camps all over the country. I grew up in upstate New York in Rochester, and they had a camp up in the Adirondacks a few hours from me. Disney, just to date me now, Disneyland had just opened. Disney World had just opened in Orlando. And they were taking a group down, and they offered to cover expenses if I went. And how can you say no to that?
Exactly.
So my parents reluctantly agreed. And the first experience was this Orlando camp. After I had attended a few meetings, and Eric, between us, and please keep this confidential, I didn't go for any other reason than the girls were the best-looking girls in the school. And so I thought, yeah, I'm going to go.
Well, I still find it hilarious that your parents let you get involved with Young Life, and it was this Christian organization. Now, didn't you say that it was a coach or somebody who brought you to Young Life?
Yeah, what a memory. I had an assistant wrestling coach in high school.
An assistant wrestling coach.
That was a Young Life leader.
Okay.
Assistant wrestling coach, and he was an All-American wrestler, so we really respected him. But he was also a very committed Christian and a leader of the local Young Life. And he just befriended me. And he told me later, when I called him from college and told him I accepted the Lord, he said, "You were the last person I expected to hear from." And so he was just amazed. We're dear friends now.
Isn't that great? But it's so hilarious to me that he drags you along to this thing. And, you know, and then you say, you know, to the other kids there that, oh, I'm Jewish, and they apologize. Oh, we're so sorry. We're doing it, you know. And I think I would have done the same thing back then, right, when I was in teenager or something like that. I would have said, I'm sorry. I didn't realize, you know, you're Jewish. And then you realize, wait a minute, that's such a lie. The whole point of faith in Jesus is Jewish. It's all Jewish. And so now when somebody says to me, when I bring up Christian faith and somebody says to me, I'm Jewish, I always say pretty much the same thing. I say, oh, by the way, you may not have realized Jesus was Jewish. Or I'll be even more sarcastic and say, you know, Jesus was part Jewish, actually. So it's kind
of... Many people have no idea. And Jews don't know that, Eric. That's the amazing thing.
Yeah. Well, the Germans didn't know that. They thought he was a goose-stepping son of the Reich or something. He was a Jew. He was a Jew, and everybody needs to know Jesus was a Jew. Paul was a Jew. Peter was a Jew. Mary was a Jew. A lot of people think Mary was Italian, but no. Mary.
And John was a Baptist.
Mary and John was a Baptist. They were all Jews. And if you don't know that, now you do know that, that they were all Jews. The only one back then who was not a Jew was Luke, who was a Greek. And I'm a Greek, but now I've been grafted into the Jewish tree, and now I get to be a Jew by faith. Folks, we're going to be right back. I'm talking to Jonathan Burness with Jewish Voice Ministries International. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
starts to rain, it begins to pour. Without an umbrella, we're soaked to the skin. I feel the shiver run up my spine. I feel the warmth of her hand in mine.
Ooh, hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show, and that is Neil Sedaka. I am talking to Jonathan Bernis, the head of Jewish Voice Ministries International. And Jonathan, what is Jewish Voice Ministries International? There's so many wonderful ministries of Jews who believe in Jesus as the Messiah. Many people have heard of Jews for Jesus. They may have heard of Chosen People Ministries. You are the head of Jewish Voice Ministries International. Where are you located?
We're in Phoenix, Arizona. We're just celebrating our 50th anniversary.
Whoa.
We were founded back in 1967 by a Assembly of God minister named Lewis Kaplan, who was part of this.
What Kaplan, what is that?
Healing.
Is Kaplan Irish? What is that?
He was a good Jewish boy.
Oh, just kidding. I happen to know that Kaplan is Jewish.
Yeah, and he accepted Jesus. He was a New York Jew, in fact. He accepted Jesus when he was 17, and his parents kicked him out of the house.
That's got to be really, really tough, because it's just like, listen, I grew up in the Greek Orthodox Church, and when I had my born-again experience, a lot of people look at you like, what happened to you? What's wrong with you? You're a Greek. You've got to be Greek Orthodox. And I thought, well, I'm not any less Greek Orthodox. I just have had this experience where I know Jesus personally, which deepens my faith. But they kind of look at you like you've left the fold or something, and it can take people time to understand it. That, of course, is dramatically increased when you grow up in a Jewish home.
I think for us, it's very clear. It's very obvious. And we think everyone will understand, but they don't. It's very confusing to people, not just Jews, but for Catholics, especially for Muslims, when a family member becomes a believer. But it's very clear for us because we found the truth. And it's about relationship with the living God.
Well, you're now the head of this ministry, and what do you typically do? What does this ministry typically do?
So, Eric, we're a unique ministry that's become more unique in the last 15 or 20 years. So we started out as a ministry like Jews for Jesus, Chosen People, to reach Jewish people with the gospel, not Jewish people only, but all people, but to the Jew first, which is what it says in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to the Gentile, to the nations, the same word. That's the gospel. That's the plan. That is God's structure for the gospel. It begins with the Jewish people and then goes to the nations, and I believe that's a biblical principle that's still in effect today. So we reach all people. So our ministry focuses on reaching Jewish people. In the 90s, we saw tens of thousands of Jewish people come to faith through international festivals of Jewish music and dance when the doors to Russia and the former Soviet Union opened up. In fact, Eric, we filled football stadiums in places like Odessa and Kishinev and Riga, Latvia, football stadiums filled with Jewish people hearing the gospel. When the doors began to close after 2000, 2002, 2003, 2004, the Lord led us in another direction, and this is where we've become a very unique ministry. The Lord has us working among remote, scattered tribes in places like Ethiopia. We're now working with a group called the Lemba in the bush of Zimbabwe. We have started to help a group of hidden Jews in Somaliland. We're working with a Nigerian community called the Ibu to determine whether they, in fact, are descendants of the lost tribes of Israel. So we're like lost tribe hunters, but instead of searching for the ark, the missing ark, we're in searching for the missing people of God. And we have encountered thousands and thousands of scattered Jewish people as a result of the dispersions, the diaspora.
Now, you're talking genetically Jewish. In other words, you do DNA testing, and you can tell that these people have Jewish blood in their veins.
Exactly. There's enough DNA evidence now, enough DNA data from so many years of testing to determine what haplotypes, what DNA evidence points to inclusion in the Jewish community, the known Jewish community. And the Lemba tribe, for example, in Zimbabwe have been claiming for hundreds of years, we're not just descendants of Israel, we're descendants of the tribe of Levi, of the Aaronic priesthood, and modern DNA evidence now has proven, testing has proven their claim to be true. So we're working among them, and we now have 40 Messianic Jewish congregations or churches in the bush of Zimbabwe among this Lemba community.
It's so incredible. I want to say again to folks who are just tuning in, one of the things growing up for me in America, you think that there's this division between Christians and Jews. I grew up in Queens, New York, in Jackson Heights. Everybody was Jewish except us, very Jewish. And then you realize, wait a second. I'm Greek. My mom's German. Who cares? On some level, the Messiah of the Jews, Jesus, is for every human being. But the great irony is that we've come to believe that he's not just for the Gentiles, but he's only for the Gentiles. And we forget that Jesus was a Jew and that the religion of the Jews that became what we think of as Christianity, it's supposed to be, Judaism. It's Judaism with the Messiah. And so many people just can't really get that into their heads, this idea that Jesus was a Jew. He didn't renounce Judaism and found Christianity. Nobody founded Christianity. There's just this thing called the church, which is the believers in the Jewish Messiah. But he doesn't become the Christian Messiah. He's always the Jewish Messiah. And God, through the scripture, prepared his people, the Jews, to bring his Messiah into the world so that he could be worshipped beyond the Jewish tribe and worshipped in all the world. But it's still the God of the Jews. That's just a link
exactly.
That many people don't understand.
No, they don't. And in fact, this was always God's intention that the Jewish people were to be a light to the nations. God has always cared about the world. He so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. But Romans 11, if I can cite Romans 11, talks about a progression of the gospel going to the Jewish people, their rejection, even though many accepted him, and you cited earlier Peter, James, John, Paul, the early disciples were all Jews, but the majority, through the leadership of the Jewish community at that time, moved away from believing in Jesus as the Messiah. And then, of course, you have a 2,000-year legacy of persecution in the name of Christ and Christianity, and a Jesus that's been firmly established as the God of Christianity, as the God of the Gentiles, that at the very least has nothing to do with the Jews, at the worst has irrevocably banished them and has declared them to be null and void. They're under eternal wrath. That's the very worst state. But Romans 11 tells us that their rejection has brought the gospel to the Gentiles to provoke the Jews back to jealousy, and in the end that Israel will be restored. So the other thing that's important, I think, Eric, for Christians to understand is that in God's redemptive plan for the world, the Jewish people have to come back to their God through the Messiah in the end, and Christians have the responsibility to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy. Not to provoke them, not to reject them, not to tell them that they've replaced Israel, but to provoke them to jealousy and win them back.
It's almost funny. I mean, it really is like a story. The idea that God would want to provoke his beloved chosen people to jealousy. It's really like, you date some other guy to get your previous boyfriend interested in you. It's like a sitcom, the Jews are supposed to say, hey, wait a second. Hey, you Gentiles, we were the ones that were supposed to have faith in this Messiah. And you got to him first, or you're with him now, but we want to get him back, or we at least want to get in on the action here because he's Jewish. Everything about him is Jewish. He comes out of the Jewish tribe. He is a rabbi. The whole thing has gotten so turned upside down that there's so many people in the world that think of Jewish and Christian as opposites or something. And on the contrary, it's just that Christians have been allowed to worship the Jewish God because of the love of God. We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to Jonathan
exactly.
Burness. His ministry is Jewish Voice Ministries International. Check it out, Jewish Voice Ministries International. We'll be right back.
Beyond a doubt, my heart will lead me there soon. Tell me, beyond the shore, we'll kiss just as before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea.
Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Once upon a time there lived a man and his name was Hezekiah. He walked with God both day and night, but he didn't want to die. He cried, oh Lord, please let me live. Death is close, I know. God smiled down on Hezekiah. He gave him 15 years to go. Everybody wants to go to heaven.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Taxis Show. And I got to tell you, we're talking about something that most people aren't so aware of, the Jewish roots of Christianity. We're not exaggerating. Christianity is fundamentally, foundationally Jewish. Jesus was a Jew. I think on both sides of his family, as far as I know. So tell me, Jonathan Burness, who is my guest, what is the website for your ministry? Because I forgot to mention it earlier.
Oh, thanks for asking. It's Jewish Voice, one word, jewishvoice.org.
Oh.
Or jvmi.org, Jewish Voice Ministries International, either one.
jvmi.org or jewishvoice.org. So at this point, you know, when you talk to your fellow Jews about Jesus, what is the reaction that you get?
Well, our primary focus right now is with the Lemba community, the Ethiopians, other scattered tribes, and they're very, very open to the gospel. The Western Jewish mindset is quite different. There is a 2,000-year legacy of animosity and division and even persecution in the name of Christ and Christianity. So it's challenging with post-Holocaust Jews of my generation to introduce the idea that Jesus belongs to us, because immediately it's then, well, what about his followers? Look what they've done.
Right.
You've got to get Jewish people to focus on the person of Jesus. We call him by his Hebrew name, Yeshua, and to show them all of the prophecies. And there's several hundred, Eric, of these prophecies in the Jewish scriptures, in the Old Testament, particularly in the prophets Jeremiah, Isaiah, Zechariah, that reveal Daniel, that reveal who the Messiah is going to be, what he's going to accomplish, that he would be rejected and despised, Isaiah 53, but he would bear our sins. These were all written hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born and lived, and he fulfills all of these in detail. Without getting too complicated, the other issue then is, what do you do with the prophecies concerning his second coming, where he brings world peace, and the wolf and the lamb are able to lie down together? That's a big issue, and it takes some prayer and explaining that it takes two comings. The rabbis understood that there was this controversy, this conflict, this apparent dichotomy between prophecies that talked about a king Messiah and a suffering Messiah, and so they devised this theory that there must be two Messiahs, that each came once. They were close. It was one Messiah that had to come twice, and it just takes a relationship and prayer, and over time I've seen many Jewish people respond to the gospel.
Well, I think that, you know, I wrote a book about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and it's so funny because in the research on that book, you realize more and more and more that the Nazis despised serious Christians. Like, if you're a real Christian, they despised you. But if you were just some, you know, hypocritical churchgoer that says, I'm a Christian, I'm not a Jew, I hate the Jews, the Nazis loved you. And so you realize that the Nazis were not Christian. They were anti-Christian. Of course, they were famously anti-Jewish, but they were anti-Christian. And So one of the greatest lies that Satan is able to perpetrate in this world is the idea that Christians brought about the Holocaust. Christians, those people were Gentiles. They were not Christians. If they were Christians, they were hypocritical Christians, but they were Gentiles. They were absolutely pagan Gentiles who maybe grew up in, with some Lutheran tradition. But the serious Christians, that's a whole other story. Many of them were in death camps, and obviously Bonhoeffer famously was killed by the Nazis. That story has not been told very much. And you know, when you think about what happened at the Holocaust, if you think that's Christians who did that, you don't know the meaning of the word Christian.
And it's absolutely true. The challenge is that Jewish people don't make the distinction between a Christian and a Gentile. It's an us and them mentality. And so that's being overcome more and more with the secularization of the Jewish community. But it's a very real issue that Jewish people don't distinguish between Gentiles, Nazis, and Christians. And
it's amazing.
It's a relationship to do that. Yeah, it's sad.
Oh, look, it's very, very sad. It's very, very sad. Bonhoeffer, you know, as I say, his sister married a Jew. He was friends with many Jews, and many of his very best friends, his friend Franz Hildebrand, was a Jew who became a Christian pastor. We forget that, you know, even in Germany, you have many people who are ethnically Jewish who believed in Jesus. Mendelssohn, Felix Mendelssohn, the famous Mendelssohn family, Jewish family, they all converted to Christianity and were serious about their faith in Jesus. It wasn't a forced conversion. So this idea that you've got this line dividing Jews and Christians, that's our crazy idea. It's not a real idea. And I would say that the more true faith you find among Christians, the more love you find for Israel and for the Jews. And when you're just among people who are cultural Christians, who are really Gentiles, you don't see that.
Absolutely. And we have to educate the Jewish people in our lives about those differences, because a true Christian loves Israel and the Jewish people. We have to help Jewish people understand this.
Well, we're going to go to a break here, folks. We'll be right back. I'm talking to Jonathan Bernis of Jewish Voice Ministries International. You can go to the website, jewishvoice.org. It's jewishvoice.org.
For all the years I had with you.
Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Jonathan Bernis with Jewish Voice Ministries International. So Jonathan, in the world in which you live, you said that you're spending a lot of time in Africa finding the lost tribes of Israel. We have the genealogical abilities today with DNA to determine if somebody who has black skin lives in Africa is actually a descendant of the Jews of Israel. That's an amazing capability. When did we begin to have this capability to do what you're doing?
Well, it's been around, I'd say, 2 decades, but it's been getting more, it's more refined and technologically more advanced every year, to the point now that we can do a high definition DNA test on an individual through the line of the mother and the father back 4 generations, and we can determine whether each great-great-great-great-grandparent, how many of those were Jewish, in fact, have DNA that's in line with the known DNA sampling right now, and there's at least 300,000 in the database that we're working with, and that's just one company, the largest company. But it's really become very, very high tech.
Well, let me ask you before we go on about that. I forgot to ask you the kind of a previous question. There are a lot of folks listening don't know, when we say the lost tribes of Israel, what is that? Because that's a fascinating thing. Tell us about
question.
That. Tell us about the lost tribes of Israel.
I'm going to give you a narrow definition and a wider definition. The narrow definition is that in 722 BC, long time ago, the northern 10 tribes, after the kingdom divided, after Solomon, the reign of Solomon, the kingdom, the 12 tribes divided into 10 northern kingdom of the 10 northern tribes and two in the south. The 10 were taken into captivity by the Assyrians, and we have no biblical record or historic record of their return. They were scattered.
So what are the two tribes that returned that we know about?
The tribes of Judah, which is Benjamin, and Judah, and part of Levi. Part of the tribe of Levi actually was restored as well, because the priesthood was split. But the 10 northern tribes that disappeared are the narrow definition of the lost 10 tribes. And there's many claims now in India and in Africa that these tribes have continued on and not intermarried and are being recovered now. But there's a wider definition, Eric, that the Babylonian captivity that took into captivity in 586, the two remaining tribes of the southern kingdom, many of them returned and rebuilt the temple under Ezra and Nehemiah, but then they were banished after the Romans conquered Israel and destroyed the temple in 70 AD, and then later after a revolt called the Bar Kokhba Revolt, they were banished from the land and scattered.
What year was Simon Bar Kokhba?
130, depending on what history book you read, 132, 134, 136.
Okay, AD. So yeah, it's so complicated to figure all of this out. Obviously, we know that there were always Jews in the land, some, but most of them were scattered. And so the lost tribes of Israel, yes, we assume that a lot of these people went off around the world, and through DNA testing now we can actually find out where some of them went.
And Eric, it gets more complicated than that, because you also have the Spanish Inquisition and Jews being banished from Spain and changing their identity or being forced to convert, then Portugal later. Throughout the Middle Ages, you had Jewish communities being banished from countries like Italy and England and France, and they scatter also. And now there's this effort to recover their original heritage, and DNA is helping to do that. There may be as many as 3 million conversos, Moranos, Jews who were forced out of Spain and Portugal and now are recovering their Jewish heritage. It's amazing to see this.
Well, it is amazing to see this, and it's amazing to see that as many of them recover their Jewish heritage, they're recovering the Messiah that many of the non-lost tribes know nothing about.
Right. And many of them are already believers. The Spanish Christians that are discovering that they may have the name Perez or Carnero or some name that is now being identified with the Jewish community, or that the change names of the Jewish community in Spain and Portugal are now rediscovering their heritage. And the modern DNA will show that they, in fact, have Jewish DNA. And they're believers. They're strong believers. So we have a growing Jewish, a messianic Jewish community, Jews who believe in Jesus.
It's so extraordinary. I really do think that the cultural Christians and cultural Jews, don't really understand. They make it difficult for everybody to understand that if you really, really believe in the Messiah, Jesus, he was a Jew, and the faith of what we call Christians is profoundly Jewish. The more you know about Judaism, the deeper your Christian faith goes, frankly. And I think it's important for people to begin to understand that these false definitions between, what we call Christians are mostly Gentiles, that when you're really serious about your faith in Jesus, well, then you're not just a Gentile. Then you're a believer in Jesus and you're a true Christian. But so many people just think, well, if I'm not a Jew, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not an atheist, I guess maybe I'm a Christian. Well, no, not quite. We're going to be right back. Final segment with Jonathan Burness. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Our website is metaxastalk.com. Let me encourage you to go to metaxastalk.com. A lot of stuff there. Also, my personal website, ericmetaxas.com. You can sign up for my weekly newsletter that gives you links to all of the shows we do each week and a number of extras that you don't get otherwise. And if you want to see Jonathan Burness's website, I hope you do, jewishvoice.org, jewishvoice.org. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. That's the Orange Peels, orangepeels.com. Boy, I love their music. Alan Clapp leads them. I'm talking this hour with Jonathan Burness. He's the head of Jewish Voice Ministries International. Now, Jonathan, you worship Jesus as the Jewish Messiah, but you are a Jew. And I think, you know, when we think of Jews, we often think of the Holocaust. We think of what Jews went through. Many people are still alive who remember the Holocaust. And you yourself had family that died in Hitler's concentration camps. Is that right?
Yeah, I think every Jewish person alive at that time in America and other countries that were safe lost family in Eastern Europe. There was so many, a third of the worldwide Jewish community at that time was wiped out, and two-thirds of the European Jewish community, and almost 100% of the Polish community. I happen to be from, my family came from Poland. Two-thirds were wiped out. Listen to this, 3 million Jews living in Poland before the war, 300 after, 3 million to 300. So half of the Jews that perished in the Holocaust were from Poland. It's a very sad history.
It's hard for us even to believe that these things are possible. We live in such a bubble in America. People complain about everything now. You know, we're on to racism and sexism, and we forget that there has been incredible suffering and that we're living really in a bubble right now. And we're unaware of how privileged we are. With our current, we still have problems, but when you think about the idea of families being wiped out, of entire peoples being wiped out, it's really sobering. That's why I think that being aware of what happened during the Holocaust is just important for us.
Absolutely.
We just have about a minute left. What can we tell my listeners, before the program ends? I just want to make sure they know how to reach you.
Well, I want to go back to one thing you said, that, and that is true Christians and Gentiles are two very different people. And that the true Christians are often persecuted with the Jewish community, and that's because it's the same spirit. When you become a true follower of the promised Messiah of Israel and Savior for the world, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, you are grafted into that natural olive olive tree as a wild branch, and you become partakers of the root. And that spirit is under attack today in
That's
the
right.
world.
That's right.
It's the enemy of the Islamic agenda. It's the enemy of the secular agenda. It's the enemy of everything that sets itself against the one true God. And so, as one friend said, if they come for the Saturday keepers now, they'll eventually come for the Sunday keepers. It's true, and we have to stand together, and we have to continue to do, to fulfill our role as a light to the world. We have to be praying, we have to be proclaiming, and I'm absolutely committed to seeing God's plan of redemption fulfilled for Jew and Gentile alike. And that's why we exist as a ministry.
Amen. We're going to have to end it there. Jonathan Bernis, forgive me for cutting you off. We're done with the program. But folks, go to jewishvoice.org, jewishvoice.org. Jonathan Bernis, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. See you soon.